It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Has time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right. Needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 97 yards.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Good morning, everybody. No practice today at the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Everyone is, however, getting on a plane or getting on buses around 5:30 to go to the airport to get on a plane to head to New England to take on the Patriots in preseason game number 4. If you've checked out head coach Tom Coughlin talking to the media yesterday, you would know he expects the starters to play about 12 to 15 plays. So that could be a couple series. And then it'll be a battle for that 53-man roster. I imagine that's going to be a big part of our focus on today's show. I'm John Schmuck. I'm joined by Paul Dottino. And Paul, let's start with the starters first, which I suppose makes a certain amount of sense. And head coach Tom Coughlin would love to see the offense put together a nice, sustained drive that maybe even scores a touchdown. That'd be nice.
Well, how about this? 12 plays, 78 yards, and then he gets him out for the night. How about that?
I think he'll take that in a second, my friend.
I do, too, especially because you would then lower the risk of injury by putting them out there a second and third time.
And I know they made big plays this preseason, and that's great. We love the big plays. They want more big plays. That's how they won the Super Bowl. But how about a nice, like you said, 12 plays, 80 yards, run it 6 times, throw it 6 times, get Brandon Myers involved, get Nix involved, and just get a nice offensive possession. We haven't had one of those all preseason long.
Now, John, I agree with you, and furthermore, I actually have thought about this. What does Tom do? Let's just say if the offense goes out there in the first quarter and has 3 3-and-outs.
I think he said something. So remember, he was asked that question yesterday. If it gets to the point, and he was asked this directly. I forget who asked the question. If it becomes a choice between protecting your players and getting them out of there or leaving them in to get them more work to try to get into some sort of rhythm, which way would you err on? And Tom said, I'll err on the side of safety.
That's right. That's right. And I know that it's going to be very, very hard to do, but yes, he's going to want to get his guys out of there. But based on what we've seen to this point during the preseason, 3 3-and-outs are not out of the question, John. I hate to say that.
No, it's not.
And that would be 9 plays in the first quarter. It's like, okay, oh, now what?
Though to make it easier, they will be going against the Patriots, for the most part, second-string defense. I doubt they'll play a lot of their starters. I'm sure maybe 5 or 6 will be out there.
Belichick doesn't like to play any of them.
Yeah, but you can't rest everybody.
I'm curious.
I realize you have 75 guys on the roster, so if you want to rest all 12 on each side, you rest 24 guys, 25 guys, you're still playing with a 48-man roster. I guess that's possible.
Sure it is. He usually does it. But here's what I will say, John. If I'm the Giants, the number one priority tonight isn't even getting this offense going. It's getting out of this thing injury-free.
That's fair.
To be perfectly frank with you. Because they got enough of guys dinged up who, at the moment, are kind of in limbo. We don't know what game David Boss is going to come back for, or Henry Hanoski, or JPP. It's certainly looking much better for Victor Cruz, who, by the way, is not making the trip. Okay, he's already told us he's staying back, getting treatment on the foot, and he's going to do everything he can to try to get on the practice field, even as soon as possibly Monday, as he prepares, hopefully, for the Cowboys game. But those other guys, John, you know, we really don't know. Are they going to be back for Dallas, for Denver? I certainly think all three of them will be back for Carolina, for sure. But before that, we just don't know. And so Tom Coughlin's got enough of worries about these guys without having anybody else banged up. So let's get out of this thing clean if you're the coach.
No doubt about it. That's always goal number one. And obviously, you like to see Ryan Mundy get out there, play a little safety. I want to see how they set up Monday and Roll. Obviously, we're not going to see that on Thursday because I would doubt Anchar Roll is going to play. I know he's practiced all week, but would you put him out there in a live game situation with a gimpy ankle? Who knows? Maybe he gets rolled, he re-injures it. No pun intended. I just don't think you can risk putting him out there and not having him there for Dallas because you already lost Stevie Brown. If Anchar Roll is not on the field against the Dallas Cowboys with that passing attack, I mean, I'm not going to say the team's dead, but they're in a lot of trouble.
Well, you see, what I think will happen tonight, you're going to see guys out of position there because in a perfect world, I think we've agreed that Monday would be closer to the box than Roll. So Roll would be the free and Monday would be the strong. Now, tonight, if they're going to play Monday with Tyler Sash, Sash has got to be the strong and Monday's got to be the free.
Right, you think.
You have to. Right. Tyler Sash can't play center field. So I would think that's the way they're going to go. Caldwell's still on the team, so I guess he'll get some time there too. And I certainly don't think Tom Coughlin wants to give too many snaps to Terrell Thomas. I mean, they came through that Jets game with him feeling good. He's not, quote, a starter right now. But, John, I think you're probably going to agree with me when you say give Terrell Thomas his 12 to 15 as if he were a starter and get him off the field.
No question about it. Paul, we'll talk further about our 53-man roster. I hope you have yours ready. I have mine ready.
Actually, I had one typed up the other day, but okay, go ahead. Never mind.
Come on. You think about Giants 24 hours a day. I figured you have it memorized by now.
I've changed it a couple times.
All right, well, we're going to go through that later on in the show. But first, I want to get to our calls. A few people have been holding. Let's start with Santonio down in Memphis first. Santonio, good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, fellas?
Doing all right, Santonio. What's up?
Well, I wanted to know, what's the status of Ramsey's Barton? And does it look like that that Marcus Harris is going to make the team because of his injury?
I think Marcus Harris will still be very hard-pressed to make this team. I honestly was surprised that Marcus Harris wasn't part of that first group of cuts, and I think the only reason he wasn't was because of the additional injuries at wide receivers to Lewis Murphy and Ramsey's Barden. I would imagine Barden is going to play on Thursday. He was back on the practice field despite the injured knee this week. And if the Giants keep six wide receivers, which at this point, Santonio, I think is unlikely, Barden has an outside shot of. But, in my opinion, they're only going to keep five, and I think the fifth guy is going to be Jarrell Jernigan.
I'm not a Jarrell Jernigan guy at all, but Ramsey's Barden really hurt himself by not being able to get on the field for the last week and a half.
Yeah,
that's just not a good thing. You know why? Because that fifth spot was there for the taking. It was his after the first couple of weeks of the preseason. And then the knee went bad. He didn't play last week. Jernigan played. John thinks he helped himself. I think he hurt himself. I don't think Jernigan performed very well at all last week. He got the five catches. There were three or four other plays he could have made he did not make. I'm very down on Jarrell Jernigan. But
yeah, one more question.
Having said that, Barden hasn't helped himself either.
Go ahead, Santonio. What's up?
Does it look like Darrell Scott's going to beat out? Is going to be beat out by Terrain?
Oh,
it appears to be looking like that.
Right now, I believe Terrain is higher than Darrell Scott on the depth chart. But I think Paul and I are in agreement that neither of those two players will be on the final 53.
Don't think so.
I think Michael Cox is the third running back, and I think that's where they draw the line.
Yeah, well, I do like Cox better.
Cox is making this team primarily as the kickoff returner, but don't be surprised if there's another running back here within the next 2 weeks. And not at Cox's expense, but there'll be an additional running back here probably in the next 2 weeks. And he's not on the roster right now.
All right, so let's go Big Blue.
All right, Santonio, appreciate the call, man. Thanks a lot. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Maurice in Montclair, New Jersey. Maurice, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Doing all right, Maurice.
All right, my question is for Marvin Austin. This past couple weeks, I've been seeing a little improvement, and you know Tom Coughlin is big on consistency. As long as we're consistent in what we do, we'll be fine. I'm worried about if he'll be able to make the 53-man.
To me, Maurice, Marvin Austin's one of the guys that's really on the bubble. I think the Giants are going to have to make a calculated decision here between keeping Mike Patterson, who's probably the better player right now than Marvin Austin, or keep a guy like Austin, who they drafted in the second round. You know, the Giants do not like to cut their own draft picks, number one. Number two, he's under contract at a very reasonable number next year, and while Mike Patterson is a free agent. So if you keep Austin, you're keeping him for this year and next year. And remember, next year, Linval Joseph's a free agent at tackle. Who knows if Sean Rogers comes back and plays. You might need a cheap guy in the contract, and Austin could be that guy. But I think Patterson can give the team more this year So in my opinion, I think they probably keep Patterson. But I think, like you said, Austin has been better the last couple weeks. I think he's making it a closer battle than it was 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Austin played probably not only as well as he's ever played since he's been a Giant, but like miles better than he's ever played last weekend.
You noticed him. You actually noticed him in the game when he played. And frankly, you really hadn't seen that much.
And John used a very important word to Coach Coughlin, consistency. How do you grade Marvin Austin's three-year Giants career when all we've really seen is one lightning bolt?
Yeah.
How do you do it? That's really, really hard. You know, I'll tell you one thing. He and Mike Patterson are both extremely lucky that Marcus Kuhn is still pup. Because if Marcus Kuhn was active, this would not even be a conversation. Marcus Kuhn would be on the 53, John. And we would not even be talking about another defensive tackle
though,
that might sneak in.
Though, in fairness, I think the only reason Marcus Kuhn is still on PUP and not active, it's because Austin and Patterson have shown as much as they've shown.
I don't know so much Austin, but more Patterson.
Patterson's shown a lot. Maurice, what else you got for us?
And I was wondering, guys, do we have to worry about Lewis Murphy with these injury problems, or is he going to stay healthy this year and give us some good contributions to the offense?
Well, Lewis Murphy has had some injury issues before when he was in Oakland. I think he was relatively healthy last year in Carolina. I have to look at the numbers again. But, look, any receiver that has leg injuries in preseason, you know how those things can get chronic? I think you're lucky he's your fourth guy and not your third guy. But would I be happy that he's been battling nagging leg injuries? Certainly not.
Right.
All right, Maurice, thanks for the call, bud.
All right, thank you, guys.
Take it easy. What's your take on Lewis Murphy, Paul? I don't know if he's been, you know, hotting the afterburners in preseason, but I haven't seen this game-breaking speed that I heard about when Lewis Murphy became a Giant in the spring.
No, I think his training camp has been rather pedestrian. You know, nothing...
I can count on two hands how many catches he's had on 7-7 and team.
Yeah, nothing spectacular. But at the same time, when he's been out there, he's been rather reliable. I mean, I don't see him, you know, screwing up routes to the point where the quarterbacks and the coaches are yelling at him when he gets back to the huddle like he's made a mistake. I don't see that. I don't see him dropping, you know, obvious catches that he should make. He's, like I said, he's been rather pedestrian. He's kind of blended in. And for a guy who's going to wind up being your fourth receiver, that's okay. He doesn't have to be spectacular.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Paul, I'm going to go through the 53-man roster here for a second. By the way, you can give us a call at 201-939-4513, and we'll go through your questions and comments on Twitter at #GiantsChat. I'll bring that up right now. We'll keep track of what you guys are sending in. We can get some of your tweets as the show goes along. And
hey, my NFL mobile app just updated. How about that, John?
Is it working?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
I'm happy you're so excited. Marwan Ali makes the point that Darrell Scott is ahead of terrain on the depth chart on Giants.com. We stress, and the PR staff makes sure to stress this as well when that gets published. That is an unofficial depth chart.
Correct.
And that's the same unofficial depth chart that they sent out the second week of training camp, I would say, before Darrell Scott once again got hurt and then fumbled the football the other week. So it's there. It's what the team provides as an unofficial depth chart. Really, quite frankly, in my opinion, is a guide to media members from other teams to break down what the Giants have at each position. I would not treat that as written in concrete as to what the Giants' actual depth chart is.
You know what you could do, folks? Watch the game tonight and – Usually, and I stress usually because it's not 100%, but get a copy of the Giants' current roster off Giants.com. That has been updated, has it not, John?
Oh, sure, yes, of course.
Okay,
that is up to date.
Get a copy of that. And what I want you to do is watch tonight's game. And what you'll probably notice, as many as 10 to 12 guys will not even get on the field tonight. These will be guys so far buried on the depth chart that they don't even see action. That does happen often in the fourth preseason game.
Because the coaches are so excited about seeing guys that actually have a chance to get on the roster and get as many snaps as possible.
That's right. And so there are guys that are basically not going to make the team. They're there, obviously, because, say, you never know who you might need in that first game or that fourth game, I mean, because somebody could get hurt. But the point is, the guys who do not play, who are healthy scratches tonight, at the back end of the depth chart, are the first guys you can put on your cut list for Saturday.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. And this brought us to your point from before, Paul. Mike Farmer writes, and don't actually ask about other teams, but what's your opinion on RG3 being thrown into the fire week one with no preseason snaps? And it's a good question. I mean, it looks like he's been cleared. I think if you're the Redskins, you have to play him because at this point, it's not like you can get him work except in practice. So if you're going to throw him out there, throw him out there. He's been in practice doing, you know, a lot of team stuff the last week or so. Before that, doing more non-contact 7-on-7 individual stuff. Look, you have to throw him out there. Do I think it might take a week or two for him to get back into it? Sure, Paul, you made a great point before the show. How confident is he in that knee? How willing is he going to be to tuck it and run? How willing is he going to be to hold the ball on that read option and take the ball outside? Those are questions we're not going to know the answer to until we actually see him out there on the field.
Nor will we know how he will react to the first hit that knee takes. Look, I'm going to make it very clear, folks. Coming out of school, I thought RG3 was going to be the rookie of the year. I was a very big fan of him as a person because he seemed like a really good guy. I would also say that I was very impressed with his talent coming out of school. Thought he would definitely be a impact player. But after what has happened, and after seeing him run as much as he's run, I just don't think RG3 is long for this league, John. I really don't, especially at the high caliber of play that he's put forth. I wouldn't be shocked if 4 or 5 years from now, RG3 is not only on the down, but quickly on the down.
Though, remember this. Donovan McNabb came into the league a running quarterback as well.
He changed.
And he changed the way he played.
He
and
changed.
RG3 certainly has the accuracy, the arm strength,
he does.
And the intelligence to play quarterback as a traditional pocket passer.
Except the Redskins have designed their entire offense around this whole read option stuff.
Yeah, but this is Mike.
The Eagles didn't.
But as easy as Mike Shanahan can design his offense around it, Mike Shanahan can just as easily undo it.
Not this year, though.
This year.
Still the RG3
That's
offense
accurate.
This year.
By the way, we got a couple calls here. Calls were mad at us. Apparently, I'm not sure which one of us did it. Referred to the Patriot game being tonight. That game, of course, is tomorrow night. I'm not sure which one of us did it, but one of us did.
That's true. I think I may have done it because I'm in the mode of, we got to get out of here.
Obviously, folks, the game Thursday night. Sorry if we caused any confusion. 201-939-4513. Let's go out to Colorado and say good morning to Kathy, who's up early. Kathy, how are you?
Good morning. Great from Colorado. I love the New York Giants.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy, for calling. What's going on?
I don't know. Just thinking about football season's coming on.
Well, Kathy, I got to be honest with you. When I hear Colorado, I think of Canavis McGee. Not a good memory for me.
Oh, shit. You probably think about the Denver Broncos. Forget about the Broncos. I'm a Giants fan.
Well, Kathy, that's great, and we appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Call again another time. Canavis McGee was a linebacker out of Colorado, John, who was a second-round pick for the Giants. He was a tweener, a strong-side linebacker slash defensive end who actually never really amounted to much. Anyway, I think that may be the last player from the University of Colorado the Giants have ever taken. And rightfully so. It was a bad experience.
Kathy very excited on this Thursday, on this Wednesday morning.
She was. She was.
You can call us back, Kathy.
Might have had some coffee or bagels or something chewing there while she was talking. So maybe she wasn't very clear in how she was speaking. But I think we got the gist of it.
Yeah, I think we did. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. I think I heard that right. Maybe I didn't. Let's see, David Jackson. I know the fourth game is usually more of a roster thing, but I hope the offensive starters get a lot of snaps, need to practice. As we mentioned to start the show, Tom Coughlin will try to get the starters 12 to 15 snaps and then go from there. And you hope they give you something in those 12 to 15, because they're not going to get any more than that.
The interesting item from Coach yesterday was that Ryan Nassib, the fourth-round pick out of Syracuse, will be the second quarterback in the game. And Tom did say he'd like to get all four quarterbacks some snaps. I thought that was rather interesting. He said David Carr would be number three and Painter would be four in the order of playing. So, again, he claims that there's a competition between Carr and Painter. Quite frankly, I don't see it. I think Carr's the better guy. But it remains to be seen if all four are able to get in.
Mike Farmer confirms you are the one that said the game was tonight.
Yeah, I think it was me.
Nice one.
I think it was.
Well
me.
Done.
Look, John, I've been walking around for the last couple of days thinking it was Friday and that it was Saturday. I mean, the day, not the game.
I know.
I thought yesterday was Friday.
These Thursday night games screw up the whole week.
I am in such disarray. It's horrible.
Brian Taylor, is DeMontre Moore going to play a lot in the rotation during the regular season? We'll get to that specific question in a second. But first, how much is DeMontre Moore going to play on Thursday? Or is he going to play on Thursday?
I say he plays, but not a whole lot.
Dozen snaps?
Yeah. Yeah.
Give or take?
I think they'd like to get him in there for at least a couple of possessions.
I'm not panicking about it, and I'm not making a referendum on him because of it, but not great the fact that he missed, you know, 2-plus weeks with this bruised shoulder.
No, but all the more important that he gets in the game now because
Correct.
You got to see if he's a gamer.
100%.
And if he is dinged up, you want to see what he's able to play through.
And that was one of the hits he had in college that maybe off the field didn't work as hard as other people and maybe not the toughest guy in the world. So we'll see if he can bounce back and do well in the game this Thursday. Let's see what else we got here. How much? And let's get to his actual question. How much do you think he's going to play in the rotation in the defensive line during the regular season?
Well, during the regular season, I've been quoted as saying, and John, I remember you gave me a hard time for this, he could have as many as 6 sacks as a rookie because I do believe they will find sub-packages to get him on the field. They're that excited about his explosiveness, and I do think when he comes in there as that changeup in his sub-package, his pass rush is going to give offenses a lot of trouble. How many snaps? I can't say for sure. I think a lot of it's going to be determined by matchups and who the Giants think they can really get after with his speed rushing capabilities. And obviously, John, we both know when he comes in the game, he's going after the quarterback. He's not coming in the game to stop the run. He's not coming in the game, you know, to help chuck a tight end. He's going after the passer.
Let's go to Wesley Best at Wes Best. Who do you see emerging as the punt returner? Think Randall or Hosley will be the guy. And you guys rock, by the way. That was an addendum there. And we appreciate it, Wes. Thanks for listening. I thought it would be Hosley before this ankle injury. He's not going to play on Thursday, obviously. I would still think once the season starts, Hosley's probably the favorite to get the job. He's caught the ball extremely well, which is one of the things Coach Coughlin really likes. He's shown the game-changing ability on not only punt returns, but on the interception return, showed his open field running ability. And with Randall's body type to me, kind of a tall guy, very fast, but not really sudden, twitchy movement type of guy, I think Hosley's a better fit for that punt returner spot than Randall.
John, I've been saying that since the spring, but the bottom line is that ankle is an issue right now. I'll be honest with you. You know, yesterday he was out, we saw him, but he wasn't quite as fluid as I'd like to see him. I'm a little bit concerned about that sprained ankle because those things can nag, and that's the last thing in the world you want is a guy back there fielded punts with a nagging ankle injury. So at the moment, I think Randall may be the lead guy because he's got really good hands, and I like the way he catches the ball.
He does catch it extremely well.
You know, safety first with catching balls because of ball security. Now, I will tell you this. Charles James, remember my dark horse from rookie minicamp?
He's a tough guy to get on the 53, Paul. Looking at these numbers.
Very, very difficult, and I do think he's going to be practice squad for sure. I'd love to see him make the 53. I don't think he will. But I bet you Coach gives him a chance to return some punts against the Patriots. Would not be surprised because they like this kid a lot. And Coach has done a lot to put him in different positions. And every single time they do, the kid comes up smiling trying to make a play. I tell you, if this were a different season and they didn't have so many guys in the secondary, Charles James would make this team for sure. But right now, again, I'm looking at practice squad.
Now we have Donald at Tag Rocket. We have great downfield possibilities, but in capital letters, can we protect Eli? Tight end blocking problems.
Yes.
Try that again.
It is.
Backfield blocking problems.
It is.
Injured offensive line, panic button pushed. He puts exclamation point, but I'll put a question mark there.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. We don't know about that offensive line yet. David Boss's return.
And the tight end blocking hasn't been great, though. I think moving Pascal back to tight end will certainly help that.
John, you know, folks, the preview report's going to be up today or tomorrow. John.
I believe it's going up today. Preview
it's going
report,
up
yes.
today. We addressed this particular situation mm-hmm. during the preview report, but simply put, if Boss and Hanoski are back inserted into this offensive lineup, it will make a difference in more ways than one. You could check out the preview report. We'll discuss that. The Giants are not at full strength offensively. They haven't been since the beginning of the preseason. And so, folks, try to take that into account when you grade what these guys have done so far. It's really not the offense that the Giants expect to see for the most of the regular season.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. Back to our phones and say hello to D in New York City. D, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, D?
Hey, we're just trying to figure out what do you guys figure about the safety position? I just called and I didn't get to hear anything really, so I was just figuring what you guys think about the safety position. And we'll have one more question after that.
Sure, D, no problem. Paul, go ahead.
Well, safeties, you know that Antrell Roll, who is very confident about being back for Dallas, is going to be one. Ryan Monday will be the other. And then behind those guys, you kind of have to figure out how the Giants want to deal with it, because they've got Tyler Sash on the roster at the moment. It looks like he'll make the 53, if by no other reason
before. I don't really like him.
Well, I'm not a huge fan either. He does a lot for you on special teams, but I don't really like him as a safety. But at the moment, he's going to be the number three. I don't think you have a choice there, okay?
Yeah.
Now, if you're going to keep a fourth safety, that requires you cutting another corner. And I think John and I would both agree the Giants are very strong at corner. They're very deep. They have a lot of numbers at corner.
I think there's a better chance of keeping four safeties and six corners than evening it out of 5-5, no question.
Yeah, so, you know, and one of the things you can remember now is I believe, and this is where Charles James gets caught in a pickle, I believe that Tremaine McBride has done so much during the course of training camp, and especially the last several weeks.
And not just on defense, special teams
as
well.
Yes. It's going to be really, really hard to cut this guy. He's a six-year pro. You can't put him on the practice squad. And I think the kid can play. A kid. He's a six-year pro. He's not a kid. And, you know, the Giants can always use Ross or Thomas for the time being as the fourth safety to slide them over and keep the extra corner. And then 4 weeks into the season, Will Hill comes back from suspension. Don't forget that. Will Hill has talent. He can play in this league. Okay?
Definitely.
What else do you have, D?
Well, I was just figuring, I'm not really worried about what's going on in the preseason too much, because I was figuring that Gilbride, that's another thing I was wanting to talk about. Gilbride, the offensive coach.
Yes.
I like him as an offensive coach. He's real good, and he's done his due diligence since he's been there, if I'm using that in the right word.
Yes, that's on.
But yeah, he's been doing his job since he's been there, because we won two Super Bowl titles with him. You know, we didn't really have the backup runner that won last year, and my friend Dion, he didn't get to make it back on the squad, but at least he retired as a Giant this year, so. Good luck to Dion and everything that he's doing, you know. But I was just wondering what's going on with Gilbride. I figured it's because it's preseason, he's not going to show a lot of his stuff, because I know they've got a lot of scouts that, you know, spy on stuff. Not basically spy, but basically watch tape of what's going on, even though you can't really predict what's going on in preseason. But I'm seeing that he's not really showing a lot of stuff, and it seems like it's the same old thing with him. Everybody's really saying he's very predictable, but I'm trying to, you know, have faith in it, because, you know, the Giants, they're astute, you know, coordinated group of people, you know what I'm saying? The corporation is very good, so I've been sticking with them since I've been a youth. So I got faith in them, so that's why I'm saying that Gilbride is the one, and hopefully he can make the right decisions for, you know, Manning and everybody else, you know, to get along right.
Yeah, I agree. I think they are holding back a little bit. And the one thing you have to know about preseason is that until that Jets game, and they still only do it in a limited fashion, they don't game plan for any of these opponents. And I think what really gives the Giants advantages over their opponents sometimes is that their coaching staff, especially on the offensive side of the ball, is very good at game planning against weaknesses of opposing defenses. So once they get into the regular season and they really start scouting these opposing defenses, I think you'll see the offense get better. I think it'll help. And anybody that listens to the show knows what a big Kevin Gilbride fan that I am. And I really get upset when people call in and they kill him, because the Giants have been a very, very good offense over the past, he's what, Paul, he became offensive coordinator in 2005, Gilbride, at the end of 2005. Is that accurate?
Yeah, well, John Huffnagel had been. Gilbride was the quarterback's coach, and then Huffnagel got dismissed, and Kevin moved in at the end of the season.
At the end of 05,
With a couple of games left.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's been that coordinator spot for – this is going to be his eighth or ninth season. I'll have to do the math on that. But I
and
think he's a good coordinator.
Manning's been there, right? Not
yes.
Not to cut your wisdom, but he's been there since Manning's been there, right?
100%. D, thanks a lot for the call, man.
All right, appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man. Good call, D. And, Paul, I know you think they've been holding back on the offense a little bit, too, this preseason.
There's no question. And, you know, I've even heard some people say on occasion that teams will show only 10% of their plays in the preseason. Now, I don't know how true that number is. I don't even know if it's true this year for the Giants or not. But I've heard that there are things that they will run in the preseason that they will never run in the regular season playbook. They're just things they go, yeah, let's just run these plays because we got to go out there and play a game. They're not so much looking at the plays. They're just looking to see how the players react.
And think of it this way, too. When you look at the Giants' offense, and I know a lot of people say, and it is true, but maybe not in the sense that people think it's true. Kevin Gilbride's offense is complicated, but it's not complicated because they're – are a million plays, and there's a 400-page playbook, and they have to memorize a bunch of different plays. That's not why the offense is complicated. The offense is complicated because within those plays that the Giants do have, the players can do different things based on what the defense is showing. So the Giants might actually have one of the smaller playbooks in the league based on number of plays, but the way the quarterback and the receivers and even the offensive line, the running backs on running plays, have to read the defense and adjust what they're supposed to do based on the defensive looks, that makes the playbook complicated. So that, I think, is something people don't quite understand, but that's why people call it complicated. It's because of the in-play, pre-snap, and post-snap reads these guys have to make together, not necessarily the playbook itself.
It's the options
or
the spider webs that come off of the basic plays that make it a very difficult playbook to deal with. And, folks, understand something. When you have a quarterback like Eli Manning, who is not only immensely talented but also very, very smart, you're going to get yourself a coordinator who wants to play up to that strength. And when he does that, it forces everybody else on the offense to have to play catch-up too. So in one regard, you know, the receivers and running backs have Eli to thank for the 1,000 spider veins that are coming off of those basic plays.
And remember, Eli became the quarterback he is today from working with Kevin Gilbride. So don't discount that as
that's
well.
True.
If he has to change coordinators at some point, who knows how that's going to affect 201-939-4513. Stay on our phones. Let's go to Shakes down in Baltimore, Maryland. Shakes, what's going on, man?
What's going on, y'all?
Have you recovered from the Aaron Curry release?
Yeah, I've been going at this for 3 days, man.
Well, Shakes, hold on. Yeah. Hold on. In fairness, we're going at this for 3 days. You were going on about Aaron Curry for 3 months, so I still think you have the lead on that.
Right. It's all fair. It's all fair.
He hasn't got picked up yet, by the way, just so you know.
I don't think he will. I think his season, his career is over, man.
Wow, Shakes is really off the bandwagon, man. He jumped, and he jumped high, and he jumped far. He is off.
Wow. You flattened the tires on that one.
Because here's my thing about that, and I'm going to speak real quick on it. My thing about Aaron Curry was that I liked his speed, I liked his athleticism, and he was a high draft pick. Now, I thought that he would do something with us. But when I watched him in the two preseason games, I seen exactly what they were saying about him, that he don't know what's going on at all. Like, I mean, the play is running right, he's running left. I mean, I don't understand what's wrong with the guy. Like,
Shakes, you know what? You know what, Shakes? Let's just bury the Aaron Curry talk right now. It's done. It's over. He's going to be somebody else's problem if they sign him. And I shouldn't say problem, but problem in that they'll be perplexed as to why he doesn't produce more than he should. We'll deal with that. We'll deal with that as another team another time. What do you got on the Giants?
Okay, yeah. I got a question, but first I want to say something about Gilbride. I don't like the draw play that we do run. I think that it was working when he had Ward, and Ward did a lot of those draw plays and made it successful. because we had that good offensive line, but we don't have that good offensive line no more, so it's not really successful as it was in the past. So I think he needs to shy away from it a little bit. And I think it's because the check downs, that's what Eli does, but still I don't like that play. And my question for y'all is since Brown is gone, I want Phillips back, but if we don't get Phillips back, week four, week five, Will Hill or Ryan Mundy starts?
Okay, thanks, Shakes. Appreciate the call, man. I think Ryan Mundy is the starter, but I think Will Hill's probably the first guy off the bench, and that's only, and I stress this, I'm not sure if you put Sash up against Will Hill and you take their overall games and you look at them. I think they're very close.
I don't think
so. I think Hill's a better athlete, but I think Sash is right now a smarter football player, knows more about the NFL game. I think Sash is a better player around the line of scrimmage. I think Will Hill's certainly a lot faster and would be a lot better in the coverage aspect of the game. But what the Giants need is someone that can cover. They don't need someone that can be helped near the line of scrimmage, which is why I think at that point Hill would probably get the look over Sash after 4 weeks when he gets back from that suspension.
I'm a Hill guy. I've made that clear, so I'm not even going to go there. But I want to address his other point about the draws because I think this is very significant.
And frankly, a lot of Giant fans have called up and said the same thing. Giant fans really dislike the draw play in Kevin Gilbride's playbook for whatever reason.
Okay. Let me explain one thing to you, Shakes, about the draw, okay? With the Giants having so many weapons who can run off the back seven downfield, okay, and they do. Let's make no mistake about that. When Cruz, Myers, Murphy, Randall, Nicks, when these guys are on the field, they can run people off the line of scrimmage, okay? All you really need for David Wilson, and he has proven this, is a crease. You don't need a great offensive line for David Wilson to be able to bust a crease, accelerate, and gain big yards on a draw, especially when the back seven is running in the other direction because they're so worried about Nicks and Cruz, et cetera, going downfield. So I disagree with you, not only a little bit, but 180 degrees. I think that the Giants' draw play could be a very effective play as long as they prove they can get the ball downfield and establish that threat. And right now, Cruz is gimpy. Nicks has looked rusty, and Eli Manning hasn't gotten the protection that he needs.
And I agree with you 100%. I think David Wilson changes that equation a lot. Look, Brandon Jacobs, is he going to be great running a draw on a third and long? No, certainly not. Is Bradshaw going to be great at it? No, it'll be okay. But David Wilson does change that math, in my opinion. When you have a guy that can break a big play whenever he touches the ball, and he can make guys miss in the open field, you want him to get the ball in space. One of the ways you get a guy a ball in space is to run the draw play.
You know, David Wilson did something the other night against the Jets, John, that just, I mean, I was on the sidelines, and he ran down my sideline on that 84-yard touchdown run. Was it 83 or 84?
84.
84. John, he ran right in front of me down that sideline. It was incredible.
Did you high-five him?
No.
Did you want to?
Kind of. He had three gears, John. He had three gears. He busted through the line of scrimmage, kicked it into a second gear at the second level, and then after he got by the backers, he increased the gap between him and the secondary as he ran into the end zone.
And they thought they had an angle on him. There is no angle when it comes to David Wilson. That's the scary thing. And Carl Banks jokes Carl Banks jokes about hitting the turbo button. That's exactly what he did.
Bingo! Bingo! Batman hit the Batmobile. Vroom! And it's gone. I mean, for real now. Anyway.
201-939-4513. Len's in Columbia, Maryland. Len, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, just a couple of quick points. I know you got a lot of callers.
Yeah.
I like the kids from Charleston Southern. I talked about it a little bit.
Charles James.
Anita. Yes, I like the kid from, and I'm hoping tonight that he returns all the punts. Let's see what this kid can do. I do also agree
he
with
might.
John that you're going to have trouble getting him onto the 53, but maybe he's his way on 53 with punt returns tonight. I think he can be a weapon. John, you keep talking about your 53, and you never recite who the 53 is, and I don't want you to do it while I'm on the phone. You can do it, you know, in talking to Paul. But here's,
no problem.
Here's what I want to ask you.
I have it in front of me.
Do you have Terrell Thomas on your 53?
I have added Terrell Thomas to my 53, and I now have six corners on my final 53-man roster.
I missed the last thing. Six corners?
Yes, sir.
Well, would you agree that you have to go to six corners to get Terrell on the team? I mean,
You don't have to go to six, but I think McBride's done so much on specials, he's going to make this team. So I think to get, you know, McBride on the roster, and I think, like Paul said earlier, they really want him on this roster, I think you have to go to six corners.
I have six corners as well.
And do you have Terrell on the team?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
And I got to be honest, Len, 2 weeks ago I did not have Terrell Thomas on this team, but I do now.
Okay. All right. I agree with what you guys are talking. I'd love to see him make it. I just can't find, on my 53, I just can't find room for him.
For Terrell Thomas?
Terrell Thomas. I just can't.
Len, he gets through tonight's game, tomorrow night's game, clean. Okay? He gets through clean without injury. How in your right mind could you possibly cut him? Honestly.
Well, of everything
that you've ever said on this program for all the years you joined us, I cannot believe the words coming out of your mouth. How do you cut this guy? Seriously.
Very good. Listen, let me say one more thing in my own defense.
We're not talking about Pete Athis, okay?
I would not be surprised if Terrell Thomas is not on the final 53.
I got to disagree with you, Len.
Let me move on. I understand your position. And, again, this is not – I just think it's a risk. It's almost play to play, Paul. I like the guy as much as anybody else does. On Hill, the safety, let me ask you a question, Paul. And I'm asking you the question because I know you like Hill as a
player.
If we'd gone back 3 months and the Giants didn't know anything about Will Hill and the problems that he was having.
Correct.
Would they have even gone out and gotten Ryan Mundy?
Yes, because Ryan Mundy was brought here to be a special teams demon, and they knew that coming into the season they had lost guys like Chase Blackburn, who was very strong on specials. They didn't know what to expect out of Mark Herzlich this year. They weren't even sure if he would step up and make this a competition at linebacker. And so he being one of your better special teams players may have put himself out of the equation by not stepping up. So, yeah, they went out to get Mundy because they needed a guy who would get down there on kicks.
Okay, let me try to make one more point based upon what you said. And I agree with what you said there, Paul. I hope we can go through the season without getting into a situation where the gap between the replacement for the injured player, even if it's just, you know, a game or two, is not too wide. Remember, the way you described what Mundy's role was going to be, we're not asking Mundy to do that when the season starts against Dallas. We're going to ask him to do a lot more.
That's true.
And even switching, you know, when you think about the signing of Aaron Ross, I mean, we got Ross for a reason. Now maybe we're going to have to start using Ross for a different reason. The same with Tyler Sash. I mean, Sash, we went through this with C.C. Brown. We went through this with Will Blockman, whose name, you know, surfaced yesterday as a possibility.
Aaron Rouse.
Oh, remember Aaron Rouse? Wow, that's a good one, Paul. You pulled that one out. I like that.
Oh, man. Look, Glenn, here's the point. These guys are not Aaron Rouse. They are not Will Blackman.
No, they are not Michael Rouse.
Cole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
these
right.
guys
I
are good.
Go ahead.
No, these guys are good. You know, the guys you're talking about, the guys you're throwing out there, the C.C. Browns of the world, those guys were not good. These guys are good.
Well, no, I don't want to put, you know, I'm talking about these guys like they're house brand canned vegetables, and I don't want to do that. I mean, you know, because I'm just a fan, and you guys probably know more than I do. But you can't ask Tyler Sash to play regularly at safety.
No. You cannot. And that's why it's very important that they get Will Hill back in week 5. Look, Len, appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
I want to add one thing to what Len was saying, John. And I appreciate his point about the drop-off. Because quite frankly, when people say to me all the time, you know, oh, can you afford to lose this player? Or who's the most valuable player on the team? Many times, it's not just the player you're talking about, but it's how good is his backup?
Well, and that's why I said to you the other day, I think it was Monday morning show, who's the most valuable player in the Giants right now?
It's got to be Eli.
Well, besides Eli Manning, obviously.
Okay.
But to me, after Eli, it's Will Beatty. Because who's going to replace him at left tackle if Will Beatty goes
right
down?
Now,
and if Pugh goes to left tackle, then who goes to right tackle?
James Brewer. Not good.
That's what you're talking about, and that's my point. I think Len makes a good point, too. You don't want that drop-off to be that bad. And remember, Mundy was a good backup for Polamalu and Ryan Clark in Pittsburgh, and now he was asked to do that in Pittsburgh the last couple of years. Polamalu was hurt a lot. Ryan Clark was out a few games last year as well, if I recall, towards the end of the season. So he has been asked to start at safety before. So even though the Giants didn't bring him in with this intention, it is something he has had to do in years prior.
And they have found, much to their pleasant surprise, that he is a much better safety than perhaps he was given credit for in Pittsburgh.
Right.
Because, quite frankly, I understand he was barely adequate and not very good when he backed up those guys and was forced into the starting lineup. But maybe it's that he fits in here better with the coaches. Maybe the scheme's a little better for him. I can't say for sure. But they're pleasantly surprised at how good a safety he's become. And, oh, by the way, when the Giants signed Stevie Brown last year, he was signed to be a special teams guy.
That's true.
They did not know that he would be so productive at safety until, lo and behold, he had a pretty good preseason. He was forced into the lineup when Roll and then Phillips got hurt. And what do you know? 8 picks, tied for second in the NFL. So, you know, these things can happen. And what I'm telling you is, Len, the drop-off from Brown to Mundy, while maybe in interceptions, is going to be a lot. I'm going to tell you, in quality of play, I don't think it's going to be as wide as some people think it will be.
All right, folks, we've got about 10 minutes left in the show. I have 4 callers on the line. We're going to get through you 4. I'm going to knock through a couple Twitter questions as well, and then Paul and I are both going to give you our final 53, because I know this is the last time I'm going to be on the air before final cuts are made. Paul will be on the air to change his mind one more time on Friday morning. But this is my last
chance.
And
I will reserve the right to do so.
I know you do. I unfortunately do not have that luxury. I will be on a flight to Louisville while you guys are on the air on Friday morning.
Going to visit Muhammad Ali?
No, I will go to the Muhammad Ali Museum, however.
Cool.
But I will do that. My buddy who I went to college with, I'm a groomsman. We're having a wedding Labor Day weekend in Louisville. I'll be back on Monday afternoon. So, by the way, I never asked you. You're hosting with Lance Monday morning, so just be ready for that.
Okay.
Just FYI.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. Always like to give the advance notice of that. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, one couple quick Twitter things, which I like to go through real fast. Marcus Erickson, is this the year the players finally vote Antrell Roll as their captain instead of Justin Tuck? Because Tuck has never seemed to be the most comfortable in that captain position. What do you think?
I would have said definitely Antrell Roll a few months ago, but given Justin Tuck's very hard work ethic during this summer, I wouldn't be surprised if he still keeps it because he has really stepped it up.
Good point. Lauren Jackson, is this caller high, question mark, and is his name Shakes? Suspicious. I think that was kind of amusing. Shakes and Colin and defend himself tomorrow. Let's see. She also pointed out to the woman that's calling from Denver to just say hey to Giant fans, go root for the Broncos if you're from Denver, Lauren.
Oh, my.
Very funny. Making me laugh this morning. Jason Forbes, if you're able to get Bird from Buffalo to trade either Carr or Painter for a third rounder, would you know? We would not do that. Victor Fontana, how much concern if the Giants don't show a lot of progress on Thursday? I think you'd be disappointed their offense doesn't take another step, but it's only 12 to 15 plays, so you don't panic, but you're not happy about it either. Marwan Ali, with all due respect, John Sash is just another guy. He couldn't cover you or me. Hill was better, plain and simple. I think Hill's a better athlete, but I don't think he's shown on the field that he's by far a much better player than Tyler Sash.
Actually, John, I'm just going to add one thing to that. Last year during the preseason, Hill actually showed some cover skills that a corner would have, and that was one of the reasons why, at times, they actually gave him some plays covering the slot guy. I'm sorry. I just have a totally different opinion of Will Hill than you do, and that's okay. We're allowed to.
Yep.
But I'm a big fan of his skill set.
I know you are. He's also a Jersey guy, which makes you a little prejudiced.
Well, born to run.
And then finally, Mike Farmer, he's getting on me for saying when I made the point that Giant fans really dislike the Gilbride draw play for whatever reason. And Mike Farmer says, really? How about like he runs it 15 times a game? Not exaggerating. See, Mike's one of those guys, and he's a good Giants fan. He tweets us all the time.
Yes, he is.
He's one of those guys that does not like that Gilbride draw play. But I'm telling you.
Well, it's got to be set up, John.
And David Wilson changed the equation.
It's got to be set up, though.
He's the perfect running back to run the draw play. Perfect running back. Remember, the draw play can be used very effectively. The Cowboys did not have a great offensive line last year. Still, excellent draw team. The Eagles with LeSean McCoy, who is a similar speed, size, skill set to David Wilson, always ran the draw play.
I think the bigger problem here, John, is that they tend to be rather predictable when they pull it out.
What? Oh, wait, you mean after the penalty on 1st and 20?
Yes.
Or the penalty it makes it 2nd and 18?
Yes.
Are you going to see a draw play? I think there's a decent chance you might see a draw play.
Yeah.
And, of course, the famous
That's
DJ.
That's the bigger issue.
And the famous DJ Ware draw play in the inside the 10, which actually worked extremely well, especially in two-point conversion situations.
Yes, it did.
201. Yes, all right, let's get through the four callers, and then Paul give us his final 53. I will give you mine. Let's go to Steve in D.C. first. Steve, let's be quick here. What's going on, pal?
Oh, man, come on. You guys got to give me a little extra time today. It's my birthday. Come on.
All right, go. Go, go, go.
Wow,
Steve using his birthday to get airtime. I will accept it. Go ahead.
Come on, man. I was supposed to be on the golf course, but it's raining.
The candle is burning. You better go.
I don't have much to say about the defense. I think the only thing that really concerns me at this point, other than a few hard decisions to make on the line, is obviously still the linebacker position, but I'm definitely with Paul all the way. You know, I'm a Florida alumni. I played 1 year there. I'm not going to go into what year. But
oh, come on. Come on. Tell us. Tell us.
No, I'm not going there. then you'll be looking at everything I say a little differently. But anyway, I'm definitely a Will Hill fan, and I really don't have much to say about Tyler Stash, but to me, I think Will Hill have no problem, you know, beating Tyler Stash out. And with that said, I'm hearing great things out of camp about Herzlick and his physicality. So I'm starting to get back on that bandwagon, as a matter of fact. I would really like to see Austin make this team. I think we will keep him really because of his youth, and we may need to get him on a lesser contract next year. So I think we will end up keeping Austin over Patterson. That's just my personal thing. But about the offense, I think the biggest problem is the tempo of the offense. Like, you know, you've been hearing a little bit more lately, is the tempo. It's way too much check downs. I think we just really need to run our play and impose our will. I don't like to draw play I don't like to draw play at all. I think Cox would be best suited, given his quickness and his size and strength. If anybody would have run it, it'd be him. But I like to see a little bit of play action. And I want to know, what do you guys think? Will we get Cox in the mix? Will we open up a three-headed monster this year? Is it possible?
Well, Steve, honestly, for one, in order for play action to be effective, you have to run the ball consistently first, which is something the Giants haven't done the last couple of years. So that gets back to the offensive line opening room in the running game. In terms of the three-headed monster, honestly, I think you're going to struggle to get enough carries for Brown and Wilson as two guys sharing the job. So unless one of those guys gets hurt, I think you're going to see Michael Cox primarily on kickoffs and on kickoff and punt coverage on special teams. I think you're looking at a two-headed monster to start the year, and then you'll see what happens.
And to be honest with you, Michael Cox is jumping up from UMass, and I know that, you know, Victor Cruz played at UMass, but quite frankly, the running back's playbook, especially here, is a little bit much for Michael Cox to delve into as a rookie. And pass protection is also another thing that he's really not very much used to. So it would be a problem to line up Michael Cox right now in the backfield in a regular offensive set. So I don't think you're going to see him back there at all. But as I've said to you since the beginning of training camp, I really wanted to see him on kickoff returns. I thought that's the way he could make the team, and it looks like he probably will.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
Well, listen, okay, last time I'm going to hang up. But you guys touch on the time of possession, because that's still a major problem for us. I know that's
you got to run it.
Linked to the running game.
Yep.
But they're not running the ball consistently. I think we need to give that kid a couple plays. So thanks for taking my calls, guys. I'll listen off there. Appreciate
happy birthday, my friend.
Happy birthday, Steve. Always good to hear from you. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Well, you know, John,
run the ball. And look, that's a big focus this year, Paul. Coach Coughlin has said it since the offseason started. You got to run the ball better.
And that's kind of what gives me a little bit of agita, because he's banged this into these guys' heads now for how many months?
And you still haven't seen it.
No. And that's, you know, and I get the fact that the line's been mixed and it's been injured and all of that stuff. I get all of that. But everybody on this team, from top to bottom, and I'm talking about even the receivers, have heard, we have to run the ball better. And yet, it's just not happening.
201-939-4513. Robert's in Manhattan. Robert, good morning.
Good morning. I was wondering if Tom Coughlin could run a trip play once in his life. He would shock the world if
well,
like one trip play.
We've seen about here.
Robert, you are right like about that. If Tom Coughlin runs a trick play, he will shock the world.
Punt.
That is true.
Shock the world. And I was talking about Cooper. Do we still have Cooper on the team?
Cooper Taylor, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, Cooper Taylor was back at practice last week and this week. He didn't do a ton last week. He's doing more early this week. I'm still not sure if that hamstring is going to be ready for Thursday. I know the coaching staff wants him to play. I know he wants to play, but we'll see. I think he'll make the trip, and we'll see how it is when they test it out on Thursday in New England.
And my last question, who won the rivalry between the linebackers in high school?
I don't understand your question, Robert.
There's a high school rivalry between Hertzberg and the other
and Connor?
The linebacker from Dallas. That you got.
Oh, you know what, Robert? I wasn't even that aware of that. That those two guys were from rival programs in high school. I wasn't even aware of that, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
I appreciate the call, Robert.
You guys do a great job.
Hey, we appreciate the call. Thank you.
About the trick plays, the Giants have run a couple of reverses.
Don't give away any secrets, Paul.
Well, we've seen them at training camp, and everybody has seen them. But the plays were open to the public. I'm not talking about any of the closed practices from this week. But when training camp was open to the public, we saw some reverses, we saw some wide receiver end-arounds, and we did see David Wilson throw a dying duck on a halfback option, if
that
you recall.
Was a
which,
dying
by the way,
duck.
Was a touchdown, but it was really wobbly.
By the skin of its teeth. I mean, that thing was in the air forever.
It really was.
Back to our phones, 201-939-4513. Richard's all the way up in British Columbia, Canada. Richard, good morning.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Doing great, Richard. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just was wondering, do you think they'll keep six defensive tackles? And if not, who's gone?
I think they keep five, and in my opinion, Marvin Austin's the odd man out.
You think they'll cut a second-round pick?
After 3 years, I think you can start thinking about it. But I think it's a tough decision, and would I be shocked if they kept Austin over Patterson? I would not. But I think Patterson's been so effective in the time he's been out there. He would, let me put it this way. If they cut Patterson, Richard, he will get picked up immediately. If they cut Marvin Austin, I'm not sure he'd get picked up right away. I think eventually somebody would snag him. But I don't think it would be a deal where you have a dozen teams claiming him on the waiver wire like they would with Mike Patterson.
I agree with you. Patterson used to kill us when he was with Philly and he was healthy.
You know, it's funny. I was talking, Richard, to Sean O'Hara, who hosted a couple of our TV shows in the offseason. He's going to do some work on the website as well this year. And when he was here on as an offensive lineman for the Giants, he literally told me he wrote in Mike Patterson's name for Pro Bowl balloting. That's how much the Giants respected his game. So he was a playmaker in Philly.
Well, it's the reason they signed him, to be perfectly honest with you. You know, if you can't beat him, join him. And when the Giants went into this offseason, they knew they had to fortify the defensive tackle spot because, quite frankly, it hasn't been all that good the last few years, especially against the run. And that's why they brought Patterson in.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. It's not easy being a Giant fan out here in the mountains of British Columbia, but I get what I can get.
Do you watch the CFL?
Yeah, of course. I'm a BC Lions fan.
There you
but
go.
I'm a Giants fan. I grew up in New York. I moved here when I was a kid, and I've always been a Giant, Nick, and Yankee fan.
Ah, very good, Richard. We appreciate the call, and we're happy to give you Giants.com so you can keep up with your Giants.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, Richard. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
The Canadian fans, we like that. Little British Columbia.
Yeah, did you know that in Canada, when you want to go
here
to a Canadian website, you have to do .ca?
Yeah, they don't use .com. They use .ca.
Yeah.
Every country has their own suffix with the websites.
Oh.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah, .com is American.
I didn't know that. Well, why? Why isn't it .us?
Because we invented it and we went with .com. Okay. Go ask Al Gore. He invented the internet, right?
Oh, yeah. Sure he did.
He has it hidden away in a lockbox somewhere. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Brian in Philly. Brian, you're our last caller of the show. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
What's up, bud?
Well, so I want to thank y'all first for having this show, you know, for the fans to call up and speak their minds. So I want to thank y'all.
Well, Brian, thanks to the fans for listening and calling. If you guys didn't, we wouldn't have it, so we appreciate it.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you. Listen, listen, since I'm the last caller, I don't have a question. I just want to say something that, you know, I trust this team to – we always bring the right dude in. We always pick the right guy because I look at history and whoever left us or we had on our team during the preseason that really did it, that went out and did something. Ryan Grant, maybe. But we –
Ryan Grant was traded. Ryan Grant was not cut. Ryan Grant was traded, so don't – he doesn't count.
Well, anybody that left us.
Well, free agent guys like Barry Cofield turned out to be pretty good. I mean,
Barry Cofield was a money decision. It wasn't necessarily a talent decision.
Correct.
I think, Brian, your bigger point is anybody the Giants let go that they thought couldn't play, generally speaking, don't go anywhere else and turn out to be a big-time player.
Right. So I trust our organization to keep. And plus, we got a good core group of guys. When everybody's healthy, I'm hurt about Stevie Brown. He was a ball hog. He would have been great. But this gives another option for us to see Monday. Or Sash, or Hill. This it gives another guy to step up, and that's what, to me, that's what team is. Okay, you got your hardcore, you got your starters, but then you got the guys that, from the bench, that's hungry, that want to get some time. So this will give somebody else time to shine, and I got faith in our team, and I think that we'll find our knack at the right time. Right now, it's preseason, we're getting the rust off, and I believe in my heart, one last thing, that if David Wilson could run that ball, we could put that fear in the defense, and that means to me the pass opens right up. And come on, we got Eli Manning, we got Nixon Cruz, and Randall stepping up. So come on, I mean, I believe that we're going to be okay. So
Brian, appreciate the call. Like the optimism at the end of the day.
Yes, yes. All right, so y'all have a great one.
Thanks, buddy. You too. Are you ready for the final 53 here, Paul?
Yeah, sure. My final 53 was actually one that I submitted to Jeff Fiegels before the preseason game last week.
Have you adjusted it since then?
I will adjust it on the fly.
Okay, so let's go.
As we go through.
Each of us will go through it together position by position,
okay,
just so we're on the same
sure.
page. And I think a lot of our things are going to be the same here. I think we're very much on the same page in terms of this team.
In total, I've got 25 on offense, 25 on defense, and 3 on specials, which comes out to 53.
Even, huh? Let me see here. I got 6, 7, 13, 16. I have the same. I have the same from what I can see here. 10, 16, 22, 26. Oh, maybe. Did I do my math wrong here?
Now I'm going to have to flop some guys out after what's happened in the last week.
Anyway.
But this is what I gave to Fiegels last week after the second preseason game.
Now, as you well know, a quarterback, I've been a person that said all year, I think there's a real competition between Painter and Carr, and I think there still is a competition going on. But in my opinion, Painter hasn't showed enough to beat out Carr. Now, maybe that changes tomorrow night. We'll see. And I think the fact that David Carr is playing at all is a little strange, but I figured the Giants know what they have with him, and you'd see more Painter. Anyway, I still think it'll be Eli Carr and Nassib as your 3 quarterbacks.
Yes.
3 running backs. I'm going with David Wilson, Andre Brown, and Michael Cox.
Yes, and Hanoski.
And Hanoski is your fullback for 4. So that's 7 offensive players right there. I have 5 wide receivers, Nix, Cruz, Randall, Murphy, and Jernigan.
Interesting. I wrote down Jernigan because in parentheses I put injured Barden missing this week will tick off Tom Coughlin. He does not like that. And Barden will lose his spot. But you know what? I'm not a Jernigan guy either. And I wouldn't be surprised if by the time opening day comes around with Dallas, the Giants pick up a wide receiver off the waiver wire.
That would not shock me either. I'm aboard with that. So that's 15 players right there in terms of the skill positions. I have 9 offensive linemen. I think they would have only kept 8 if you could guarantee me David Boss was healthy. But since he is not, I think you're looking at Beattie, Pugh, Snee, Boss, Booth, Mosley, Brewer, and Cordell. And then David Deal would be number 9 if they don't put him on that short-term IR, which at this point I'm not sure they're going to do that. They think he can get back by week 3 or 4.
See, now, I have 10 here on my linemen. I got Beattie, Booth, Boss, Snee, Pugh, Cordell, Deal, Mosley, Brewer, and Herman. Now, in the last week or so, I would change this. David Deal, I don't think he's on my 53.
So you think he's going to get put on that short-term IR list?
I think he goes, you know what I just found out about the short-term IR, by the way?
What's that?
You have to wait till September 4th. to put a guy on short-term IR, then you must designate him on that day.
You know what? That's a great point. I didn't know that rule at some point, and I had forgotten it. You're right. You actually need to put him on the 53 before you put him on the temporary IR list. You cannot hide him like you do a guy on PUP.
Correct.
That is correct.
So I think I've got to keep him on the 53 for now, and then if I'm going to temporary IR him, I'll deal with that 3 days later. But for now, he's got to be on my 53. I do think, John, this is where I may have a change. I've got Herman as one of my 10 offensive linemen as of 2 weeks ago. I'm thinking right now he's not going to be there. I'm thinking he's practice squad, and I'm thinking the Giants look for an offensive tackle in the last round of cuts from somebody else, because right now this tackle position is way too thin for my liking, and they need someone with experience who they may have to plug in if they get an injury, as you mentioned about an hour ago.
Would not be surprised by that as well. All right, so that – I have 24 guys then there, and you have
I have 25 on offense.
You
because
have
I have Myers, Pascoe, and Robinson as my three tight ends.
And I have Myers, Pascoe, Robinson as my 10 as well. So I got the three quarterbacks, three running backs. That's six. Heinoski is seven. Five wide receivers gives me 12. Three tight ends gives me 15, and then I have nine offensive linemen. So I have 24 guys on offense myself.
I may add to you that a very well-respected, longtime NFL executive I spoke with this past week said to me, you know what, if I were the Giants, I'd actually keep four wide receivers. I wouldn't even keep a fifth because he was so unimpressed with Barden and Jernigan. He said, just go with four for right now.
But Murphy's banged up. That's where you run into problems.
I know. But his thought was go with four. Cruz is hurting too. I mean, that's why I can't do that.
Right.
But he said, I'd go with four, keep a receiver or two on the practice squad, and this way I've got them around the team, and I would keep myself another lineman.
And to your point with the offensive lineman, that's why I would keep Deal on the 53.
Yeah.
Only because you can stash him on the IR, and then you can add an offensive tackle in free agency as added depth if you like, and then you move Deal to the temporary IR after that. So you have 25 on offense. I have 24. Now let's move on to defense. I have five defensive tackles on the roster. Linval Joseph, Jenkins, Hankins, Rogers, and Patterson.
Okay, see, now, originally 2 weeks ago, I had Kuhn. I had him maybe coming
off
the
PUP. Well, now we have Kuhn on the PUP list, and that's
fine.
But
now he's PUP, so I'm going to put Patterson in place of him.
Okay.
As of today.
And you have Austin off the team.
I have Austin off the team.
Five defensive ends, JPP, Tuck, Kiwi, Demontre Moore, and Adrian Tracy.
Yes.
Six linebackers, Herzlich, Connor, Rivers, Williams, Paysinger, Bosworth.
And that's where you and I totally disagreed from the get-go.
You only have
Bosworth.
Five linebackers
no,
there, right?
No, I have six.
Oh, you have six, too?
You were a Bosworth guy from the beginning, and I really thought that they'd catch lightning in a bottle and Curry would show more. Curry is now off my team,
well, that's
obviously.
Fine.
He's
you
off
can,
the Giants as well.
You could adjust it now.
And Bosworth is on.
Six cornerbacks, Corey, Prince, Aaron Ross, Jayron Hosley, Terrell Thomas, and Tremaine McBride.
And that's who I have.
Four safeties, Roll Sash, Taylor, and Mundy.
And I only have three.
You have what, Taylor on IR?
I have Taylor going IR.
So that's where our difference is. You have the one added offensive lineman, and I have one fewer safety. That's where our difference is. And obviously you have the three specialists, Diassi, Weatherford, and
Brown.
Josh Brown, obviously.
Now, Cooper Taylor has been fighting a hamstring problem for much of the preseason.
Three safeties, that's thin. I know you could put Ross and Thomas at safety theoretically.
That's my take. And I remember.
Terrell Thomas hasn't practiced the second at safety, so I think if they're going to move somebody there, it'll probably be Ross.
Regardless, I just think that the Giants can cover that up and deal with that as need be. I'm too happy with these corners. And, again, offensive line, I had to go for an extra body there. I'm not thrilled with what's there.
And look, I'm not going to name my whole practice squad. I already got into trouble trying to do that on Monday, so I'm going to try to do it again. But some guys that I think they'll try to get on.
Charles James has got to go there.
For me, Eric Herman's on it.
Yeah.
Charles James, at least these guys will try to get on it. Maybe another team will try to sign him. But Herman, Charles James, I think you'll probably see a Jomo if he's eligible. If he's not, Broha.
By the way, I believe that Jomo is and Broha is not.
Broha's not, huh?
He's been around here already 2 years. And the rule, I believe, is maximum 2 years on practice squad.
I thought last year was Broha's first year on the practice squad. Am I wrong about that?
Oh, geez, John.
He's been here 2 years? Last year was
his first year,
right?
So that he's eligible? I'm getting lost.
Either way,
practice squad guys.
I think Ojomo is ahead of Broja on the depth chart.
I don't know that I want to go any further.
I think they'll try to get Ojomo onto that practice squad just as another guy. They have to have at least one or two offensive linemen on the practice squad just so they have guys in the building in case people get hurt. We talked how Selvish Capers is not eligible for that. So we'll see who else they try to squeeze on. Maybe Matt McCants they try to get on that practice squad on the offensive line.
Or they grab somebody else.
They can always grab somebody else that somebody else cuts as well as a possibility. And you're going to have to get a corner, which we talked about, Charles James. And you're going to have to get a wide receiver on there. I think Kevin Hardy's the wide receiver.
Yes.
They try to get on the practice squad, in my opinion. So,
I absolutely believe that.
And then from there, who knows? We'll see.
Bottom line is, John, the season starts in a little over a week, and the Giants and Cowboys will go at it. And as we sit here today, I'm looking forward to it.
It should be a lot of fun. And we'll have Lance and Anita will be on tomorrow morning. They'll give you their 53s, and they'll break down the Giants and Patriots a little bit more. Paul will be with you solo on Friday morning. And then next week, it'll be Paul and Lance on Monday, and then we'll get back into our regular season schedule. Lance and I will do Tuesday and Friday, and then Paul and Anita will do Wednesday and Thursday right here on Giants.com. Make sure you check it out. And, of course, next week we'll have all the preview of the season, preview of Dallas, and, of course, the New York Football Giants. We'll have the preview of our Big Blue Hit Show. We'll start on Friday, and then that'll be a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday show next week. And, of course, Giants First and 10 will premiere on MSG next week as well. Make sure you tune into all of that on Giants.com as we move forward.
We're getting ready, folks.
Carl Banks and Strategy. You'll have Giants Online. You'll have all that stuff. Preview Report will be on as well. That's coming up, Preview Report, tomorrow for later on today, rather, for Giants and Patriots on Thursday night. Make sure you check it out. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmuck. Thanks for joining us this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Talk to you tomorrow morning. Paul and I are getting on a plane. Lance and Nita will carry you the rest of the way. Have a good one.